Before we move on from the theory behind behavior change, we must explore how dogs learn. Whilst communication breaks down misunderstanding, understanding how your dog can learn to cope is the essence of building resilience and maintaining it in the long term. Whilst we can spend our lives acting like dog-walking ninjas, attempting to protect our dogs from their triggers, and walking while everyone else is in their beds, we won't empower our dogs to cope unless we teach them that they can, and we can only effectively teach our dogs if we know how they learn. There is a lot of jargon associated with learning theory. It can be difficult to grasp in the first instance, but it's really worth the effort, because it will totally transform your relationship with your dog, along with how they cope with life. Learning theory is the term given to what we know so far about the process of learning. It applies to all animals, including people, but in this case, we are focusing on dogs. Dogs learn in a number of ways, and what they've learned will dictate how they behave. A straightforward example of this is the dog that has learned to fear other dogs, so their behavior will change in the presence of other dogs. The specific change is also learned, so a dog's outwardly reactive and defensive behavior is learned by how it affects the environment. Classical conditioning. Anything that a dog learns is tried out in the first instance, and then if the response to that experiment includes something the dog likes, the dog will try the same thing again in an attempt to trigger the same response. If this happens naturally in the environment, we call it classical conditioning. Ivan Pavlov is the name associated with classical conditioning. You may have heard of Pavlov's dog. The biologist learned that dogs can make an association between things in their environment and expecting a certain consequence, without being formally taught anything at all. In Pavlov's dog's case, a group of dogs learned that their lab tech carers appearing in the lab preluded their bowls appearing, and then the provision of their food. The dogs, motivated by the idea of food, soon began drooling at the sight of their lab tech caregivers, way before the food was touched. The dogs' responses in this case were involuntary. They had linked a few visual occurrences together, and their bodies had created an involuntary response. In many ways, like when our own dogs teach themselves that when we get our walking boots out, they're likely to be going for a walk. Operant conditioning. Learning terms explain this further, in particular the things we consider the learning quadrants, which were presented by B.F. Skinner. The quadrants are part of a learning process we call operant conditioning, or even training. They work by driving behavior via consequences in four different ways. Positive reinforcement means the dog receives something they like as a response to their behavior. Remember earlier when we said the dog must decide their own reward? It applies here, too. The more a dog likes or enjoys the good thing that he receives, the stronger the displayed behavior that he associated with that rewarding consequence will become. The word reinforcement means to make stronger, and in this case, it's making the behavior stronger by enabling or providing the dog with a rewarding consequence. For example, the dog sits for attention, so we give him a treat and then the attention, providing double reinforcement. The basis of effective learning is the building of confidence and empowerment of the learner. The dog that feels strong and confident is likely to learn quickly and effectively because his brain chemistry is healthy and he is happy. Dopamine is triggered, which cements memory, fuels motivation, and makes the dog feel good. A dog that is getting things right in their lesson will be keen and willing to keep trying new things because his confidence is high and the new things lead to a positive result,